Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
Good evening, everybody. My name is Bart Winkler. Welcome to the Bart Winkler Show alongside Carlos Ortiz with Marco Belletti on the updates and you. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. Again, the Stanley Cup Finals are underway, and three periods are done, but the game continues. I'm one of those guys that say, like, free basketball or free hockey or free baseball. There's, like, some people that don't like that, but I do, and so I'm going to say it. Free hockey. Free hockey tonight as Edmonton and Florida in Game 1 are headed to overtime. Dexter Henry is headed to our phone lines. You can check out Dexter's work with the New York Post Sports, as well as you hear him around here from time to time. Dexter, good to talk to you again. So Tom Thibodeau got fired, and we are going to have a conversation about that. I was surprised that it happened. I thought that, like, maybe it could at the beginning of the playoffs, but then as far as they got, then it did. What was your reaction when you saw this, and now a day later, does it make any more or less sense to you?
So I wasn't shocked that it happened, Bart. I was more shocked about the timing of it. I thought that, you know, Ian Begley from SNY was on the Zach Lowe podcast, and he talked about how there was going to be an evaluation period of Sabres, which, to my understanding, I knew that was going to happen too. I thought the timing would take a little bit longer. I thought maybe we'd hear something after the finals, you know, and I thought actually Pedro was going to stay, if I'm being honest. I thought he'd stay. So I was a little shocked at the timing of it, not that it could happen, because I did think the Knicks were going to evaluate everything. I think there's an argument to be made, and I wonder if you had this thought too, that, look, he beat the Celtics, right? He made some adjustments in that series. He got this team to two games of the NBA Finals. Now, there's some other things you could talk about with his willingness to make adjustments, and did he make them too soon? I think the front office definitely evaluated all of that before they came to a decision. I think this is a interesting move by the Knicks. There's risk involved in this, but I kind of like it because they're saying, hey, we're not satisfied with this. Now, the thing is, I will say this, Bart, it's one thing to make that move and not be risk averse. The easy part is firing Tom Thibodeau. The hard part is replacing him and making sure you get the right guy. Those are two different things, and you gotta make sure you get this right with this group, with this team, this core, with a shot to actually go to the NBA Finals. You now have to nail this hiring.
Yeah, and I definitely want to get into that. I think that where I was at was, a lot of times I feel like coaches either get fired too early or too late. I don't really feel like they usually get fired at the time that they should. Some have, and one guy gets fired, the next guy comes in, and you can look at, like, maybe Mark Jackson and then Steve Kerr coming in. You could look at a situation like that that worked out for the Warriors. With Thibodeau, there's a lot that you could say, he did this, he did this, he did this, he did this, he deserves his job. But teams are going to look at, well, what are you going to do next? And I thought, based on what could happen next, he got a roster kind of thrown at him with that Towns trade right at the beginning. He still has, if you want him to go deeper, then maybe get him some better pieces off the bench. And then the way that the East is next year, it's pretty doable. So the Knicks, if they're going to make this decision, I think, well, they got to know then who that next guy is going to be. But if we're going to get 2-3 weeks of, oh, they're talking to this guy, or they want this guy, or this guy said no, I don't think there should be a situation where you fire Tom Thibodeau unless you know who you're going to hire. It doesn't seem like that's what's happening, though.
I would be stunned. I would say this. Maybe they don't know exactly who they're going to hire, but I'd be stunned if they don't have a short list of who they have in mind. I agree with you. You don't make this move unless you know what direction you want to go in. I would say, at a minimum, Bart, they got to at least know what kind of coach they want. because then that wouldn't make sense to me, right? You don't get rid of a defensive-minded coach like Tom Thibodeau. You're right about some of the stuff you said. He was thrown a new roster, especially in terms of the starters, before training camp. 2 days before training camp was a Karl-Anthony Towns trade. So three-fifths of the starting lineup was different this season as opposed to last season. And he got this team to the Eastern Conference Finals. Now, you also made another good point that I thought, and you were right about teams looking ahead. And I do think the franchise was looking ahead to saying, okay, next year Boston's probably going to be a little bit down without Tatum. Indiana's still going to be the class of the East, along with Cleveland, and the Knicks should be right there. How do we maximize this short window? And I think windows are short now in the NBA. How do we maximize it and try to win? And maybe we need a different voice and a different philosophy. Somebody that's going to play 10 deep during the regular season, the playoffs. Somebody that's going to be a little bit more innovative with lineups. I think those are things that the Knicks were looking at. I don't blame them for looking at that. But as I said before, there still is a lot of pressure on them to get this right. I'm not saying it's a wrong decision to fire Tom Thibodeau. I think it's tough. I think there's an argument to say he deserves to coach another season with this team. But did he earn the right to coach another season with this team? That's a fair question based on some of the lack of adjustments you've seen with him over the, I would say, past 4 to 5 years.
Talking with Dexter Henry, I keep looking online for, like, who they're going to hire or what happened. I'm seeing a lot about Rick Brunson this, and they didn't get along that, and was this, you know, Leon Rose? Was this James Dolan? Are you aware of anything that maybe, like, came to a head where maybe players did think that they could use a new voice? I mean, Jalen laughed off the question when he was answered it. Uh-huh. Now people are going back and trying to, like, dissect any sideline video that they can. Was there anything like that happened, or just simply we want to go to the finals and this year we didn't and next year we would like to?
Yeah, I think it's that. I think the Knicks have raised their standard, right? Like, they're not satisfied where they are. This doesn't have to do with, do I know if every player in the locker room was a Tibbs guy? I can't tell you that. I can tell you I think most of the locker room was behind him. I think most of the locker room was together. That was in the locker room plenty of times this season. That's a good locker room. It's a good bunch of guys that like each other. I think it mattered that the two leaders on this team, I would say Jalen Brunson and Josh Hart, they were Tibbs guys. I'm sure they wanted him back. We know that Jalen Brunson wanted him back. But still, the organization made a decision that they thought was best for them. So people who were saying that this was a Dolan issue, I think they're dead wrong on that. In fact, there's some good reporting on it. If you also see, Dolan was on the Roommates podcast talking to Josh Hart and Jalen Brunson about this a couple months ago, and he said, you know, he wishes he hadn't meddled as much in the past, and he's learned from that. It hasn't meddled now, and I take him at his word on that. I don't think James Dolan meddled on this. I think this was a Leon Rose decision. There are beat reporters who are on the team closer than me that have reported that, and so I think people are looking for something that isn't there. I think it simply is what you said. The Knicks looked at their team. They said, okay, Tom Thibodeau's gotten us to this level. But in order for us to get to where we want to go, we think we need a different kind of coach. And yet you have to respect that. And that's fair. You mentioned some examples of where this has worked before. I'm not saying it will work for the Knicks, but it's not like we haven't seen this before where a coach has been let go because an organization thinks that, you know, he's maybe a floor raiser, but not a ceiling raiser.
We've already seen, again, reports of they're interested in this guy or they're not interested in that guy or this and that. And, you know, I don't know how the hell to believe anymore. do you think that this is going to be a decision that is made relatively quickly, a decision that maybe takes some time? Because, like, as you mentioned, maybe they don't know exactly the person they're going to hire, but they must have some sort of indication of what kind of person they want to hire. How long do you think this is going to be a story here?
I don't think it's going to be that long for a couple of reasons. One, you know, you want to have somebody in place, you know, before the NBA draft. None of the Knicks don't have a first round pick, only a second round pick this season. But you'd like to have somebody in place before that so they can be aligned, you know, with your front office on what decisions might want to be made. You also want to talk to that person before June 30th, the start of NBA free agency. So, you know, right now we are in early June, right? And it is not that far away. We're just a couple of weeks away from some of those dates. We're on June 4th here. I say this gets done in the next 7 to 10 days. I think you'll hear something on that. Because I think they have a short list. Normally you see these things when there's coaching searches and you'll say, oh, this team is going through, you'll see some reports. It comes out, oh, the team is going through an extensive, exhaustive search. We saw this with Phoenix before they settled on their coach today, right? You haven't seen many reports like that come out around this. And I think it's because the Knicks have a short list. I feel like in the next day or two, you're going to hear about that short list. You'll hear about some more candidates. You've just heard rumors now. Johnny Bryant, former Knicks assistant, is on there. You know, Jay Wright, you've heard. I don't know how real that is. I do think the Knicks will look at some college coaches. I do think they'll look at some possible first-time head coaches that they may want to pair with a good associate head coach. I think you will hear some, I hate to call people this all the time, but retread. You've got Mike Malone, Taylor Jenkins, guys who I think could be candidates here. So I think it's really going to be interesting to see what kind of voice they go with and what they're looking for. The tough thing in New York is we don't know any of this because Leon Rose and company, they do not speak to the media. So we have no idea exactly what kind of coach they're looking for.
So with the team, as we talked to Dexter Henry here, with the team, a coach is one part of the puzzle. The rest of the puzzle is made up of the roster. I'm seeing a lot of, you know, even though he essentially saved the team in one game, I'm seeing a lot of backlash towards Karl Anthony Towns, maybe some defensive questions or maybe some. And this is a guy who just got here, like you said, 3 days before the start of training camp. Is there a plausible way that he is not a Knick next year? And if not him, what other moves do you think are possible that this team can make?
So the way I think he's not a Knick next year, right, is if whoever's a new coach looks at this and says, I can't work with Karl-Anthony Towns on the floor because I look at this team and what I'm about to say here is true in that their two all-NBA players are their two worst defenders. And it is hard to win an NBA when two guys in a starting five are minus defenders. So if the new coach comes in, or this also could be Leon Rose looking at the roster, even though he did trade for Karl-Anthony Towns, he might say we need to trade him to maybe get some other players that fit better with what we're doing. I'm not saying I know this, not reporting that, but I think that would be the only way that Cat is not on the roster. I think the Knicks are actually probably more inclined to try to bring most of this roster back and try to, you know, improve the team on the margins, improve the depth on the bench. I think that's the more likely scenario, but I do think they will kick the tires on certain things. You're going to hear KD's name brought up. I'm not sure that I'm on record saying I don't think that's really a good move. He's 37 years old, but I understand why the Knicks might want to maybe play a little bit more five out ball. He's better a defender, even at his age, than Cat is, but he might want to look at that. I just also think the Cat slander has been a bit misguided. My colleague Stefan Bondi wrote a good column recently talking about that. And, you know, Cat was the best Knicks starter in the conference finals. If you look at his numbers, he was averaging just under 25 points, just over 12 boards. And in his 211 minutes on the floor, the Knicks outscored the Pacers by 7 points. So the rest of the starters, they were negative in plus minus for the series. Not that plus minus is everything, Bart, but like he did not deserve some of the ire I've seen from different fans and people. Does Karl-Anthony Towns have his flaws, especially as a defensive player and sometimes looking lost? Not sometimes, a lot of times looking lost out there. Absolutely. But he's not the reason, he's part of the reason, but he's not the sole reason the Knicks lost to the Pacers in the conference finals. But I do think if they move on from him, it'll be because they look at the team and say, hey, he hurts us too much defensively, and we can't live with him and Brunson on the floor at the same time. And the numbers do reflect that. When both of them are on the floor at the same time, the Knicks are not a good basketball team.
You know, I wonder, and I'll kind of put you on the spot on this one, but do you think, like, because you look back at game one, and the Pacers had that comeback, and then Halliburton's shot that went in, and they still go to overtime. So there's plenty of things in this series, or maybe, you know, a roster move here, a roster move there. Is this like one that got away from the Knicks? Is there anything that you think they could have done up to this point? Now we're firing Tibbs and we're going to change the roster, maybe whatever. If they play this back a different way, should they be in the finals tomorrow night?
Yeah, I mean, there's a world where I think one game one, I think the series is completely different. Completely different. You know, they probably would have been heading to game six of 3-2. I think the Knicks probably, I actually really believe the Knicks would have won the series had they won game one, but that's how things are in the playoffs, right? The margins are that thin, and they didn't win that game. And I'm going to be clear on this. That game one loss is not on Tom Thibodeau. That game one loss is on the players. They're the ones who turned the ball over. They're the ones that didn't guard Aaron Nesmith down the stretch. They had the miscues, the missed free throws. It's a lot of little things that have to go wrong that compounds the big things when you blow a 14-point lead with 2:38 to go. And that was a gut punch. And that's a loss that's going to haunt those players. It's going to haunt the organization. It's going to haunt the Knicks fan base because it was a missed opportunity. The Knicks were favored in the series. Not big favorites, but they were favored in the series. They probably, you know, I think the Pacers were the better team in the series, clearly. But going in, if you look talent, you're like, oh, the Knicks have more talent than the Pacers. Slightly, you think they win the series. I'll get the Knicks to win the six. The Knicks, they underperformed. It's simple as that. They underperformed. The Pacers were a very tough matchup for them. You got to give them a ton of credit. Pacers were a damn good team. But the Knicks, you're right. That game one, that's one that's going to really stick with them for a long time because it changed the whole series around. And it was a gut punch, and they did not recover from that.
Derrick Henry, New York Post Sports. Always good to chat. I called you Derek. God dang it. I'm sorry. Dexter Henry.
That's fine. I have a nephew named Derek. It's all good.
Ah, jeez. No, I did that at the beginning of the show, and Carlos got me on it. I'm so stupid.
Right. Next hour, Derrick Henry.
Carlos is always on top of it. Carlos is always on top of it, though. So I respect that.
That is so lame. I am going to... Okay. All right. Dexter, thank you for coming on.
No problem, Bart. Appreciate you, man. Talk to you soon. All right.
Dexter Henry joining us. New York Post Sports. God.
I wasn't going to play it, and then you outed yourself. Well, I'm like, well, you just opened that door for me to get in there.
Can you give me a pep talk or something?
You do a good job overall, but you still got about 2+ hours here to screw it up. Oh, no, pep talk. You got 2+ hours to prove everybody wrong.
Just go to break. This is the Bart Winkler Show.
It's the Bart Winkler Show podcast.
It is the Bart Winkler Show. Who am I to criticize anybody's grammar or speech? 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. I would like to congratulate Jordan Ott for becoming the next head coach of the Phoenix Suns.
Why?
Do you know that his Wikipedia is not even updated yet?
That was like me asking me if I knew he had a Wikipedia. It's Jordan Ott.
Yeah, look, Wikipedia, I've dabbled in it, like trying to edit it, because at different stations I've been at, I've like tried to put in the history of my station, you know? They're the people that treat Wikipedia as a hobby do not treat Wikipedia as a hobby. They are the gatekeepers. They are the guardsmen. And I try to like update the schedule of what's on the, apparently you can't put schedules on there, even though the Infinity Sports Network page does have our schedule.
It does.
I was told not to. I've dabbled in it, and then like, guys will take it, and then people will put incorrect information. I'm working at the station writing stuff. People will fight me on it. And then, like, I edit. So on the Wikipedia page for, like, 2 hours is me calling certain losers or users losers and speaking bad about them and writing some other stuff that I probably shouldn't admit to. But I was fierce, and angry. And it still sticks in my craw every time I pull up the Wikipedia about these monsters and these moderators that edit this site. They are not an easy group to assimilate into, I will say.
Yeah, they were very quick. When I made my first edit to Wikipedia, they changed it within a matter of 15 seconds.
And what, pray tell, were you editing?
Oh, I was attacking Dave Gettleman's Wikipedia. I changed his job description to a covert spy for the New England Patriots, as he was the general manager for the Giants, because everything that he did for the Giants was sabotage. Dave Gettleman was the worst general manager I've ever lived through in any of my teams. So I changed out on Wikipedia. I forgot what move that set me off, but I was so furiously pissed that I went to Wikipedia, of all things, and I'm like, this guy is a freaking spy for the Patriots. And it stuck, and I took a screenshot. 15 seconds later, that was updated.
Well, you're just being a jerk.
An accurate jerk.
I was trying to, like, legitimately edit the page of the radio station that I work for.
And I was trying to legitimately let people know that Dave Gettleman is a spy. Do not trust him.
If I may, I'm going to bring up the radio station Wikipedia that I work for, okay? I'm going to bring up the Wikipedia for the radio station that I worked for in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin, WFON, okay? And their affiliate or sister station, KFIZ, we are on there now in Fond du Lac, my hometown. So hello to Fond du Lac once again. Yes, it's me, your boy. Here I am.
All four of you.
Grandma, maybe. Grandma listens. Hi, Grandma. So I edited, like, this radio station was founded in this day. This is what happened with this. This is what happened with here. Here are a lot of people that have gone through. This has happened here. Charity events. This is it. It was probably a 3 to 4 page readout of the station and the history of the station. If you go to it now, it says WFON is a radio station licensed in Fond du Lac, Wisconsin. The station is owned by RBH Enterprises. The station airs all games of the Green Bay Packers as a member of the Packers Radio Network. References. I mean, I wrote the whole thing out. And now over the years, they just took it away. And there's nothing there. It doesn't say anything. It doesn't say, Bart Winkler once had a morning show on this fine airwave. Doesn't say that either. So, these Wikipedia people, if any of you are out there doing it, it's a hobby. It's a hobby. Let's not get all crazy about it. Okay, I'm just trying to do good for the common man. Hockey game's still tied. 9 minutes to go. We're in overtime. Florida punched one in the third period to get the tie, and now we have the first half of the first overtime, question mark, underway. We'll see this game in Edmonton, so either absolute scenes to come or a frustrating night for the hometown fans. But as I mentioned, the whole reason I got on the Wikipedia tangent was Jordan Ott's Wikipedia is not even updated yet. He is the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns. And you can't be named the head coach of a team and have less fanfare than this right here, unless it's on, like, Super Bowl Sunday. I mean, but for this time of the year, you've got the NBA Finals coming up tomorrow. Then you've got the whole Tom Thibodeau thing, which is kind of sucking a lot of the attention from the finals. The main finals preview that I keep hearing about is, yeah, this is a small market finals, but nobody should care about that. But it is one, but who cares? But it is one. That's kind of the summation of how the finals preview has gone right now. And then all the meanwhile, the only reason why this got any attention, this Suns job, was because they may have been interested in a guy that the Knicks may be interested in Johnny Bryant. But it's Jordan Ott, who they have decided to hire. He's been a longtime assistant in the league. Started as a video coordinator with the Hawks. Then the Nets assistant, Lakers assistant, Cavs assistant. He is 40 years old, so another younger guy. And again, the Wikipedia still has him for the Cleveland Cavaliers. Now, some of the reporting out of PHNX, so that's Phoenix, the Phoenix Suns, go PHNX.com. They've got an article about Matt Ishbia, and he's the owner of the Phoenix Suns, and we've played his sound bites before about how 26 different teams in the league would trade everything they can to have our team. And we talked about how that's absolutely not the case. They've got Kevin Durant on a big contract expiring, but he's 37 years old and will be dealt. It's just a matter of time to who. They've got Bradley Beal with one of the few no-trade clauses in the league. He's got another year before a player option of $57 million. He will absolutely opt into that after this coming season. And then you've got Devin Booker, who I believe is going to be playing for his seventh different coach with one organization, if I saw that right, which is got to be some kind of record. And then they've got money tied up to Grayson Allen and Royce O'Neal, and they don't have a lot of control over their picks. It's not a good situation coming up here. So they've got some they can play with, but they do need some help with the roster construction, and the salary has got them in trouble. But anyway, the article about Ishbia says the Suns owner stated that he tried running the typical NBA owner playbook of hiring experts, signing checks, and getting out of the way, but no one was happy with the outcome. And he is vowing now to be more hands-on going forward. So a lot of times these people will come in, buy a team, own the team, run roughshod over the team, and then maybe realize, oh, this isn't the way. I got to hire the best and the brightest. Ishbia tried that, didn't like it, and now he says he's going to be more involved. And the big decision today was the hiring of Jordan Ott, who is the new head coach of the Phoenix Suns, but still an assistant with the Cavs, according to Wikipedia. 888-710-4ISN, 888-710-4476. An update on this hockey game. It is still going on, so I think you can guess what the update is. We'll have our worst in five power rankings in the MLB and throwing some special amount of love to the Colorado Rockies, who right now, do they have one of the longer winning streaks in the league?
Yeah, so here it is right now. The Orioles, of all teams, have the longest winning streak at four games because the Cubs lost to the Nationals today. The Cubs
they just went up 3-2. I need them to lose.
You sure do.
Survivor, I took the Mariners.
Must suck to be you. So, yeah, Cubs had previously had the longest winning streak at six. They lost to the Nats 2-0, so that one's over. So Orioles get four. The Rockies and the Padres both have winning streaks tied at three. So that's your updated winning streak standing.
I know nobody cares about it, but I've mentioned it, so I'm just going to do 20 seconds on it. I'm in a Survivor baseball thing where you have to pick a team every week. They have to go at least 500. I have a perfect record up to this point. This week is a double pick, so you need both of your teams to do right. I was going to take the Rockies. They played the Marlins.
I don't believe you.
I was. And then I didn't, but I feel like I just have to say that. So I took the Mariners, who lost to the Orioles last night, and they're down right now, and I took the Cubs, who have the Tigers this weekend, but I thought they'd at least beat the Nationals, and they lost tonight. You're stupid, stupid Cubs.
We took two out of three from the Nationals. Pump the brakes there a little bit.
No, I think you guys play tomorrow, boss.
Probably true. I'm not looking at it right now.
Yeah. The series started Tuesday.
I thought today was Thursday.
It feels like a Thursday.
Dude, I'm mentally shot. I'm just... can we just get to Friday already? Who the hell invented a five-day work week? I want to go back in time and hang them for war crimes.
And we work 10 days a week because we come in on one day and leave the next day.
That's right. In my anger, I forgot about that.
Mm-hmm. All right. We'll do our power rankings coming up. Here's an update with Marco Belletti. I've got the power!
It's time for Power Rankings, Bart Winkler style.
You know what? You just made the list.
It's Worst and Five. Here's Bart Winkler.
It is time for our Worst and Five Power Rankings, in which we give you the worst team in the league and then our five best. Throughout the summer, we will be focusing on baseball. We start with the worst team in the league. It's still the Rockies. I mean,
you
it's still
suck.
It's still the Rockies. Now, they are tied for the second best and longest winning streak in all of baseball right now after sweeping the Marlins. So they've got 12 wins now. They're 12-50. But the Marlins have 23 wins, and that's still very bad. But that's twice as many wins as the Rockies. They're still on pace to lose more games than anybody, although these three wins definitely do help. They'll get back to form this weekend when they take on the Mets. But congratulations to the Rockies, who since June 2nd do have three more wins than Scottie Scheffler, as they eloquently said on Twitter today. So, the Rockies, we salute you. Keep your head up high. Hang in there, but you are still the worst team in Major League Baseball, and right now, probably all of professional sports, the Colorado Rockies.
You suck!
Yeah, make it a double for me as well. It's the Rockies.
You suck!
I will say this, though, even though you stole my stat about the winning streaks.
I did. I didn't know that coming in, and then I
clearly
took it from you.
Clearly robbed away. I will say this. It's just that they're historically bad, not just bad. By far the worst run differential in the major leagues. It's minus 181. That's brutal. Like, they're going to have a similar issue like the White Sox did last year, where when a trade deadline's going to come, who the hell is going to want any of your players? Like, I would take a flyer at Ryan McMahon. I had him on my fantasy team 2 years ago. He mainly plays third base, utility guy. He can slap the ball. He's productive. He's on a down year. You could get him for next to nothing. After him, I don't think there's anybody I want. So it's a brutally brutal year for the Rockies, historically bad. They might challenge that White Sox loss record that was set last year. But it's just, when's it going to get better? Because I don't think you can trade anybody for any meaningful prospects. So the Rockies are in a bad spot here. But I also want to give a special shout out to the San Francisco Giants. Now, obviously, they're still at 33-28, so they're above 500. But remember how hot they started off in the beginning of the season? Well, they lost 14 of their last 23 games. And they made a bunch of roster moves. They signed Dominic Smith, who's bounced around, former Met, I believe. They got rid of Lamonte Wade, who was productive for them last year. Didn't work out. Like, they're trying to throw a bunch of moves out there and see what fits. They're in a tailspin right now. So, yes, the Rockies are the worst team in the league, but San Francisco might be in one of the worst, you know, ruts that's currently going on in baseball. So, shout out to them.
You suck!
One last note on the Rockies. They've got a couple of pieces I want. Former Brewers, Orlando Arcia and Keston Hira.
You know what's funny? Well, Hira's the one that I talked about last week that they should have called up. Arcia could have signed with the Yankees and the Mets. They both wanted to bring him in, albeit it was a minor league deal. But he could have played for a contender, and he's stuck on this team. So that's what happens when you try to chase the bag and some playing time. And, hold on, breaking news. Let's bring this down. The Edmonton Oilers have won game one in overtime. It looks like that was a power play because I did see that in the corner of my eye. 4-3, Oilers over the Panthers. Edmonton is going nuts right now, and rightfully so. We have a final in game one of the Stanley Cup Finals.
Wow, you are a full minute ahead of me.
Get cable at work, son.
Son me.
That, yeah, that was a little aggressive. My apologies. All right. How about we finish rankings?
Yeah, we can take your calls on this game if you'd like. We'll do that coming up here. The other note that I wanted to say is, as I'm checking out this Rockies box score, the Marlins have a guy named Jack Winkler on their team. You know he's good because he wears the number 63. I would never get a personalized jersey, but I would get a jersey of a Winkler on a team.
Well, now's your chance.
So now might be my chance.
Oh, all right. Beautiful goal.
My five best teams in baseball. So I'll start at number five.
Number five.
Last week it was Tigers, Phillies, Yankees, Cubs, Dodgers. Phillies are out, swept by the Brewers. The Mets crawl back in at number five. The New York Mets at 38-23, winners of eight of their last 10. They come back in at number five. At number four.
Number four.
It's going to be the other team in New York, the New York Yankees. They're 37-23. I just feel like if it got to be a Subway Series again, I would probably take the Yankees over the Mets. And that was my determination. Aaron Judge on track to be MVP again and is just continuing to rake. So they get the vote at number four. At number three.
Number three.
I am a hater, but I'll put them at number three. The Chicago Cubs losing tonight to the Nationals. Tisk, tisk, tisk. You want to talk about run differential? Plus 100. The Cubs atop the NL Central. Cardinals trying to storm back. Brewers trying to storm back. Brewers winners of nine of their last 10, FYI. But the Cubs still with a healthy 4.5, five-game lead in the NL Central there at number three. At number two.
Number two.
And they've not been as good as I thought they would be, but I still think they are. I still think they're the best team in the league. The Dodgers. But at number one.
Number one.
I'm going to put the Tigers, and they deserve it. I don't know that they would win the World Series. They have the best record. If you're doing a power ranking, the Tigers, I think, deserve to be there. Again, other than the Dodgers. Well, no, they have. They have the best record going back to mid-August of last year. They do need to add at the deadline. This can't be a team that plays well and then doesn't add. They got to add. You can't moneyball this. But the Tigers come in at number one. So from 5-1, Mets, Yankees, Cubs, Dodgers, Tigers.
All right. Very similar list, although our order is a little bit different. I'll start at number five as well.
Number five.
This is where I'm going to put the night Yankees. Long gone are the days of the evil empire where the Yankees just simply buy championships. Whoever they want, they're just going to outspend everybody. I think the bigger markets have come to play. Obviously, the Dodgers are now in the evil empire. But the Yankees have scaled back their spending, and they've gotten smarter. Like, you look at the players that are contributing for them now. Ben Rice, I mentioned, has been a revelation. Trent Grisham, I completely forgot he was in the league. He has absolutely had a renaissance. Ryan Yarbrough that they picked up from the scrap heap. Like, they have players and that they're not spending a lot of money on. And the guys they are spending money on have performed. Carlos Rodon has returned to form, considering he was dog water at times last year. And Max Fried, one of the best pitchers in baseball, probably the best left-hander in the league. So the Yankees are at number five for me. A little side note. Luke Weaver, who their closer was, he'll be out for a few weeks. So Devin Williams, your boy, looks like he's going to be back in that closer role. So things could be exciting for the Yankees. At number four.
Number four.
I'm actually a little lower on the Dodgers than you are. I'm going to put the Dodgers here because they're still a stacked roster. Like, they're a great team. They really have, like, all-stars at every position and, like, six closers. But those injuries are piling up. And I'm looking at them. They're not breaking that Mariners record of 116. That's off the table. So I'm going to put the Dodgers at four. At number three.
Number three.
I'm actually going to put the New York Mets. My wife wanted me to put them at number one. I can't do it because the eye test tells me there's two teams right now that are better than them. One of them by a hair. But the Mets, even though they lost to the Dodgers last night, it was in walk-off fashion. They did beat the Dodgers the night before, also in walk-off fashion. They have the league's lowest team ERA, which is nuts because they don't have Sean Manaea or Frankie Montas yet. So the Mets at number three for me, they're very impressive. Number two.
Number two.
This is where I'm going to put my Cubs. Life is good on the north side before losing tonight. Cubs were on a six-game winning streak. Best run differential in the majors. Like Bart said, they're the only team in triple digits in that category. Bullpen's got a lot better. P. Crow Armstrong, legit MVP contender. And even though they lost Justin Steele for a year, the rotation has stepped up. Matthew Boyd, that's money well spent. On my number one team.
Number one.
Just like Bart, it's the Detroit Tigers. I agree. They do got to add at the deadline. I would have felt a lot better about them going on a deep postseason run if they didn't skimp out. and not get Alex Bregman. But right now, they're doing it with players that you didn't... Like, Gleyber Torres has performed really well. He was an outcast for the Yankees. And Javi Baez, playing center field for these guys. That's... You would have convinced me he was playing center field. I would have told you you're lying. So, top to bottom, Yankees, Dodgers, Mets, Cubs, and Tigers.
That is our power rankings. Well done. Carlos Ortiz. Bring in the heat. The Tigers.
High heat, if you will.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's a baseball term. Stanley Cup, game one in the books to Edmonton. We'll discuss that. Plus, USA versus the world is coming to an NBA near you. 888-710-4ISN. 888-710-4476. It's a party in Edmonton. Let's keep it going on the Bart Winkler Show.
Thank you for listening to the Bart Winkler Show. Listen live Monday through Friday nights, 10 p.m. Eastern, 7 Pacific.